Pesachim, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, 4:4. Another Mishnah about various minhagim, and the truth is we have two separate unrelated minhagim here. The first is the minhag not to eat roasted meat on Seder night. This is referring to time after the Chorban, where there is no Korban Pesach to be brought, and therefore, while the Korban Pesach was eaten roasted over an open fire, in a very specific way, which we'll get into in the Masechta shortly, actually, there's a minhag that many people have not to eat any roasted meat outside of the context of the Korban Pesach on Seder night, so people shouldn't think that it's actually a Korban Pesach. And therefore the Mishnah says, Makom shenagu le'achol tzali, in a place where the custom is to eat roasted foods, belele Pesachim, ochlin, where it is the custom to eat roasted foods on the night of the Seder, so then it's permitted to do so. Makom shenagu shelo le'achol, however, in a place where the minhag is not to eat roasted meats, ein ochlin, one may not eat them. Now, that's the end of that first point here. Just halach lamaisa, the minhag in Ashkenaz, universally Ashkenazim, is to not eat any roasted meat on Leil HaSeder. That includes pot roast, meaning if you put something in like a container, but without water, and cook it in the oven, that also is forbidden, according to the minhag of Ashkenaz, even though that's certainly far from how the Pesach Korban itself was eaten over, roasted over an open fire, etc. But that is certainly the minhag. It wouldn't apply to things other than meat, meaning not to fish and not to vegetables. Certainly, roasting those is fine. Now, it's as if there's a new Mishnah here. This is totally a new point altogether, a new minhag. We're going to have two different conflicting minhagim here in the next lines of the Mishnah, but they both are driving at the same point. The point is that on Yom Kippur, there are five inuyim, five ways in which one impoverishes his nefesh, his person, so that his neshama can shine on forth. And one of those five is tashmish amita, marital relations, which are forbidden on Yom Kippur. So there are minhagim here to sort of inhibit that from happening, unlike, let's say, a regular Shabbos. So the minhag is, we'll see in the Mishnah, the first minhag is, makom shenagu lahadlik es haner b'leili Yom Kippurim madlikin, in a place where the custom is to light a candle on Yom Kippur, then one should do so. We're talking about lighting a candle in the bedroom, and the idea being that because Tashmish is forbidden with lights on, so that would inhibit people from falling into that. Makom shenagu shelo hadlik, however, in a place where the custom is not to light a candle in the bedroom, so then they don't light it in the whole house, and when leaking, the whole house stays dark, and that way the men, let's say, coming home from shul wouldn't see their wives and get excited. It's brought down la halacha that the minhag is to have lights on in Yom Kippur in all the rooms, including the bedroom. However, the Mishnah Berurah says there's room to be makel. At all events, madlikin bevati knesios uvati midrashios. At all events, places where this concern is not relevant, we certainly do light them up on Yom Kippur. So that means in the base knesses where they daven, and base midrash where they learn, they do have lights burning so people can daven and learn. Uvamavaos hafelim, in dark alleyways, so therefore we need proper lighting for safety, etc. So we do light those up. Valgabi acholim, and similarly with people who are unwell, we have lights going there. Of course, on Yom Kippur you can't light a new candle like Shabbos, and therefore we need to have lighting in place from before Yom Kippur so that we can take care of the needs of the sick, etc., should they arise.